Yes, no, Thursday would be complete. We've done a little visit to Twitter Thursday and to Sean Defoe. How you doing, Sean?
Oh, not too bad now on this schizophrenic weather Thursday. It has been, you know, both ready to burn me and lash me out of it. I've needed an arc and sunglasses. So, you know, who knows what's going on. Almost July tomorrow. And we're still like this.
Yeah. And you, that lovely fair skin that people compliment all the time, that porcelain kind of look. We don't know how you do it, but you just do it.
I don't know. I go from white to burnt and nothing in between. That's my 2 seconds.
And he's not kidding on that, can I just say. Well, now, taking a look at things in the weird, wild world of Twitter, maybe if we start in Wimbledon, and this could be bad news for your Sammy and my Riley, namely our doggies. Why, I'm asking myself.
I genuinely thought you were pulling my leg when you sent me this story earlier on. I thought there is absolutely no way this is true. But there was a bid to replace the ball boys in Wimbledon with dogs. And amazingly, it did not go well. So I genuinely thought this would take the mick out of me. But you know, it was a club near Wimbledon that trialed it out, thinking, God, maybe we can get rid of them. And they were trying to train the dogs to go and get the balls and bring them back. But, and I could have told them this before they started, the dogs did not want to part with the tennis balls and give them back. And so they ended up spending so long chasing the dog around with a treat trying to get the ball off them that they just decided, you know what, actually, I think humans might be quicker.
Indeed. And no energy to play tennis after chasing the dogs around the place trying to get the balls back. And what about the Robinson's barley water? Remember those ads and the kids running off the side at Wimbledon, and how are they ever going to work that out? Well, maybe they were going to drink less.
I just don't know how you think of it. Like, imagine Novak Djokovic. Like, he's not the, he doesn't look like the happiest man at the best of times. Indeed. When he's really into it, and let alone, you know, going chasing after a dog. But then also I was thinking, the aerodynamics would totally change, because you know yourself, when you wrestle back a ball from a dog, it's about a stone heavier from all the slobber and the drool that is already on it. So that's surely has got to affect your
You paint a picture, but it's one that Sammy and Riley would be too familiar with, let me tell you. Anyways, moving on. This is a rather strange story in Wales.
Yeah, so they are thinking, they're putting out a consultation in Wales about banning the sale of coffee and tea to under 16s in a bid to tackle obesity and make people healthier. So there's concern in Wales that the rising consumption of high caffeine drinks and energy drinks is basically affecting the students' education, that they can't concentrate and that it's bad for them. So they've put out this consultation basically saying, should they stop selling not only the likes of Monster and Red Bull and all that to the under 16s, but also tea and coffee, which I think is just absolutely... Now, the only way I think I could get behind it is if there was a ban on selling lions. Then I think I'd be okay. But if you're talking about Barry's and you're talking about coffee, certainly...
Oh, here we go now. This is where the preferences are coming out.
Oh, 100%. Now, I have to say, I actually wasn't great as a teenager for drinking tea or coffee. I didn't really go near it. It was only surprisingly in latter years that I got into tea, and then almost the second that I started working full time that I got into coffee, because it was fully needed.
He got tea, mortgage and a life insurance all in the 1 week, I think it was.
Oh, sure. Look, this is it. Well, the tea I was a bit of an addict for a long time now, but the coffee was, and I'll never forget it, when I got my first job, I was doing mornings and I was getting up at 4 a.m. and I was like, how does anybody do this? And so it was right, I need the coffee and stick it to my veins.
Haven't gone to bed in and around midnight or even after, but nonetheless.
It's a bit of a mad suggestion, I think, this. I can understand some of the energy drinks. Like they say, energy drinks, some of them have up to 21 teaspoons of sugar.
I think they should be banned, Sean. I really do. They totally agitate your system. And as you said, 21 spoons of sugar in some of them. Like, would you physically go to the table and keep 21 spoons of sugar into your body? But because you have it in liquid form, you don't think of it. You don't see it.
No, you don't at all. And then not only 21 grams of sugar, but the same caffeine level as 3 cups of coffee. And I could be fairly jittery after my first cup of coffee in the morning anyway, let alone 3 of them going. So that I can kind of understand. And in Wales, they already have these warning labels on them. They're looking at a few other bits, actually, that are kind of interesting that may have been discussed here, but have never really come in. So the looking at restricting ads for foods that are high in fat, sugar, or salt, so your takeaways or whatever. Ending free refills as well on sugary drinks. That's kind of been discussed as well. Mm. And then expanding publication of calories on menus. And this is what I really divides people whenever I kind of have done it that on it in the past, because there are some people who are like, yeah, absolutely great, I can go out for a meal and know that, oh yeah, this burger is however many calories. And then there's the other camp who say, well, no, if I'm going out for a meal, I don't want to know. I do not want to know what I'm putting into my body. I want to enjoy myself and not worry that this, not sit down and go, geez, if I have that burger, I'm going to have to do an hour on the treadmill tomorrow, you know? So
yeah.
See both sides.
Especially when it's an old treat situation, simple as that. But I think the old tea and coffee ban, that's a bit of a nanny state scenario now. Listen, before you go, your Explainer podcast, what are you going on about this week? Let us know.
Yeah. am I going on about? That's a very interesting way to put it.
I knew you'd take the bait.
This week, yeah, you know me too well. So this week is a really interesting one, I think. So why do politicians not have maternity leave? Is the one that we're talking about.
Right.
Obviously, Justice Minister Helen McEntee is she's pregnant again, and they're going to have to find out some sort of a solution to let her take leave. And there's no politicians, local councillors, senators, TDs, none of them are actually entitled to any sort of maternity leave. It's
a bit surprising,
a man
really.
System. It is, yeah. It's one of those ones you kind of go, is that actually the case? Mm. And it's obviously like anachronistic. It comes from a system that was really designed by men for men. And interestingly, barristers are in the same position as well. They technically don't have any maternity leave. They can take leave, but quite often it has to be labelled as, like, you know, time off or sick leave, which is a really interesting one. But if you want to know more of it anyway, the Let Me Explain podcast is up now, and a really interesting one this week, I think.
I'll be listening out. Sean Defoe, thank you as always. Have a good rest of week, my man.
You too, Ollie. Thanks a million. Talk to you soon.